Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It is the breakfast huddle. I'm Elliot Danka, together with Timothy Goh. Time now for our Sustainable Singapore series. And with Sustainable Singapore, you tend to always learn how one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yep, it's the circular economy is what they call it. The theory behind how our next guest is converting seafood waste into chemical for the chemical supply chain. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Southeast Asia produces 1.5 million tons of waste from crab, shrimp, and lobster shells alone. Part of the 6 to 8 million tons the world generates.
Horrible. I don't contribute to that because I'm allergic to all of it.
And these are very expensive seafood when you think about it.
Crab, I'm the good guy.
Lobster, shrimp, the most expensive.
That's true. It's true.
So, yeah.
And you bring tourists there as well. We, you know, we love chili crab here in Singapore, right, if you think about it. But in developing countries, waste crab shells are often just dumped in landfill or, you know, just thrown back into the sea because disposal can be quite costly. I mean, for example, you look at Australia, it costs $150 per ton of waste.
Wow. Oof. That's... Anyway, researchers came up with a solution that benefits both the environment and the economy.
Okay.
And, of course, these so-called crustaceans, they contain three chemicals. I didn't know this before, but they have these chemicals that have industrial uses for pharmaceutical, for drugs, for agriculture, for animal feed, and even for textiles.
Yeah, but I'm guessing even by you describing that, right, breaking them down is really the problem here. I mean, because typically required, because the chemicals are quite harmful, if you think about it, especially once you break them down, then the chemicals get released into the environment. So that's obviously got to have an effect.
Well, NUS researchers are using a method to cut down the CO2 emission of what you're talking about nearly 95% compared with others. So how did they do that?
Very interesting. Well, Ning Yan, Associate Professor, Department of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering, NUS, is on the line with us. Ning, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Hi. Hi, Emily. Hi.
Oh, thanks so much for taking the time, Prof. Let's talk about what you do. Interesting. Department of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering. What does all of this entail and what made you take on this project?
Of course, as a faculty member in NUS, I do both teaching and research. And research-wise, our main interest is to make value-added chemicals, materials, from a renewable feedstock. If we talk about this particular project, I become interested because I'm sensitive when I see abundant renewable feedstock that are currently underutilized. When I first came to Singapore, I realized the Lingxian generates a lot of shrimp shells, fat shell waste that do not seem to be efficiently utilized. And that is the original motivation to embark on the project.
Okay, well, waste shell disposal is, of course, expensive. So why has the value of seafood shells for the chemical industry been largely ignored up until now?
There are multiple reasons behind this. First, our current entire chemical industry is largely built on non-renewable fossil resources like coal, natural gas, and oil. And they are not built on renewable feedstock. And also, there are technical challenges. We don't have green and cheap methods to process these shells and to upgrade them into valuable products. We also have to admit that these seafood shells have some of their own limitations. They are seasonal and they are scattered. They are not easy to collect.
Prof, you said upgrade these shells into valuable products. That really interests me. I mean, what can we extract from this seafood waste exactly?
This we have to talk about the main components in this shell.
Okay.
There are three main components. One is chitin, it's an organic polymer, and one is calcium carbonate, an inorganic material, and the last one is protein. Apart from that, the shell also has lipids, pigments, but these are in very small quantities.
All right. Walk us through, Professor, the process to use the extract called chitin and chitosan from the seafood, and the, what method do you have to use to save 95% of the CO2 emissions there?
As we just mentioned, there are three major components in the shells. Mm-hmm. So basically, we have to take the chitin out of the two other material, which is protein and mm-hmm. mineral. In our new process, we remove the protein by using pure hot water. You know, this is quite remarkable because only pure water is needed. The inspiration of this step comes from the cooking experience. When we use high-pressure cooker where we have high-temperature, high-pressure water, the meat, which is the main component, is exactly protein, can be tenderized very fast. So if we treat the shrimp shells, crab shells with the really high-pressure, high-temperature water, mm-hmm. protein becomes tenderized and gets leached into water easily. By using this step, we remove protein without using any chemical. Then the next step, we remove the inorganic material, calcium carbonate, also by using water, this time at room temperature, with the carbon dioxide. Dissolve a little bit of carbon dioxide, the acid, the water becomes acidic, then the inorganic material gets leached into water. After two steps, we get the chitin. We want further chitosan, then we need one more step by boromir. Boromir chitin with caustic soda. In about a couple of hours' time, we get chitosan.
All right, Professor, let's talk about something our listeners might be able to identify with. With all this thing that you're extracting from the seafood shell, what can be done with these substances?
If we talk each of them, we have three things: chitin, calcium carbonate, and protein.
Chitin, okay, let's start with the chitin, yes.
Yeah, chitin has quite a wide range of application, including cosmetic products, glass, and food supplements. Let me give you one example. You are going to find the glucosamine in almost any pharmaceutical store, and that drug is to improve the function of body joints and also to reduce the stiffness, the swelling of the joints. If we talk about calcium carbonate, certainly it's the most widely used in construction materials and also as the calcium tabulates. And the protein is a nutrient essential for both the human being as well as animals.
Wow. So construction materials can have seafood shell in it.
Yes, it's durable.
Wow. Yes, it can. It can, yes.
Fascinating.
Prof, I'm curious. I also understand some skin-friendly soaps and household cleaners are among some of the things that can be produced from these elements that are extracted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we have this COVID-19 situation that we're in right now. And these are products that is more widely purchased by people because they're staying home. We're all a bit germ-phobic now. What does this lead to at your end? I mean, does it mean you have to conduct more research or to find better ways to extract these elements?
Yes. Actually, we do believe some of the existing products can already be used under this COVID-19 pandemic situation. We do see increased interest of companies approaching us and developing the technology. And we are also thinking of new products to partially help to solve this COVID-19 pandemic. For example, at the moment, we are trying to make the fibers existing in chitin into the masks. So we can increase the local sustainability to supply the mask. So it will be bio-based, biodegradable, fiber-based masks. That's just one example.
All right, Professor. We're looking at a report here that the chitosan, which is the other component that you talked about from crab shell, it is expected to grow 11% per year through to 2030. So in the next decade, are you expecting more of this to be extracted from bio-waste?
Yes, absolutely, because chitosan is from chitin, and the chitin is from the crab shells, shrimp shells. There's no way that the humans can make it artificially. So we can't really make it in any other way. We have to extract it. So, and on the other hand, the old process is banned because of the environmental concerns, energy consumptions. So I do expect a more renewable process will be developed so that more of these cattle will be extracted from the shells.
Okay, I'm listening to all these scientific methods. It is quite a deep conversation. And I can't help but think, Prof, that I'm sure commercializing these methods is something that's on your mind. Is this something you're thinking about? Have you made any progress with regard to that?
Yes, absolutely. So far, we only have large-scale demonstration and we have a patent on this. So we have been actively engaging with the industry, both local and international, trying to commercialize this. Yes. Yes, we do.
All right. We certainly wish you the best of luck. It'll definitely help the environment a lot more. We've been speaking with Ning Yang, Associate Professor, Department of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering at NUS. Prof, thank you so much for taking the time. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our Sustainable Singapore segment written and produced by Rianne Lovell-Bolin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.